Good morning. It's time now for the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are W.K. and Ken Boyce. Good morning.
And good morning. Dan, looked like you were having a good time in here.
Yeah, we're having a good time. We were talking about old times on the radio back in, we were all announcers together back in the 1960s.
Oh, my.
On KWTO.
75 years, is that right?
Well, that's when the station's been on 75 years. We worked together 45 years ago. A long time.
There's some giants in the field just here, and we're glad that they were here and that they had an opportunity to be back on the air. And good morning to everyone who's listening to us. This is The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute here in Springfield, Missouri, in the heart of the Ozarks. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. I tell you, it's a beautiful morning out there right now. Not too bad for a nice spring day. I understand we've got some pretty good weather coming in, so everyone be careful out there as the day progresses and going into the night. So I've heard anywhere from 2 to 6 inches of rain. That's going to be incredible. So just keep safe out there and keep an eye on the weather. As always, the show is brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, based right here, of course, in Springfield, Missouri. Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, we counsel individuals, couples, and families to help them get the life they've always wanted. If you have questions, things are happening in your life, and just not understanding what's going on or why this is happening the way it is, call someone and get some counsel. Call WK. If you'd like to give us a call this morning here in studio, the phone number is 862-9977, 862-9977, or 1-800-375-0056. If you're one that doesn't necessarily want to talk on the air, give WK a call at the office at 882-6767, 882-6767, and set up a time to come in and speak with WK. Probably one of the easiest people in the world to talk to. So give us a call.
Yeah, I want to mention also that this Thursday night, we have a continuation of our series, Coffee with WK. I would really enjoy you coming out and like to meet you. And we're going to cover another topic this week. Last Thursday evening at Panera's on East Sunshine, we covered the issue of stress and how to identify stress, the difference between stress and burnout. We talked about the four reactions to stress or the four responses to stress and how to cope some coping mechanisms to deal with stress better in our life. This Thursday night, we're still at Panera Bread at, I believe, 2924 East Sunshine. The topic is the freedom to fully love. The freedom to fully love. Remember the first time that your hands touched, your arms embraced, and the single moment of that first kiss? I want you to join us as we discuss the importance of two hearts in one marriage. Growing together toward mature character, respecting each other's boundaries, how it really takes two to make one. It's really a different type of topic. It's not something that we normally think about. We usually think more of the oneness than we do the two. But it is important to have two to have a strong oneness in marriage. And that's what we're talking about. The importance of boundaries, the importance of identifying ourselves in the marriage. If there's only one person in the marriage, it's not a relationship. And so that's what we're talking about. The freedom to fully love. You can go online at springfieldmfi.com. Register there. If you have any questions, you can feel free to email us and ask questions as well. Or if you have any questions, you can call us at the office at 882-6767.
In this series, Coffee with WK, it doesn't matter whether you're single, married. Information there is good at almost any point in your life. So even if you're going, well, WK, I'm not married, that's fine. This is a good series. It's good information. A lot of the reaction last week was just surprise. You know, this is more than what I thought it would be. And that's good.
True, yeah.
That's good. That's what we want it to be. This is for you. This is a good time to get together, a little informal. Come up, meet WK, and I'll be there as well. Again, give us a call at 882-6767, 882-6767, or go online to springfieldmfi.com. If you ever have a question, you want to email WK, we've got a new thing on the website. If you go to springfieldmfi.com and go to the radio link, on the radio page, there's an Ask WK. So if you have a question or comment or something you want to ask, feel free to use that. This is the first time we're bringing it out on the air, and already we've got people that have found it and have sent notes and things to WK. So just want to let you know that that is available there. New format called Ask WK, and it's on the radio page and the radio archive page. So if you have a question, you want to hear it on the radio, or if you have something you want us to address on the radio, go there as well.
You know, we've been talking a lot about families, about marriage, and about what it means to really live effectively in our homes, in our families. Today, I'd like to talk about a subject that we don't hear a lot discussed in just the open arena of ideas out here, and that is parenting and addressing spirituality in our parenting. How are we addressing our own spirituality? What are we doing? You know, parenting inevitably confronts us with the issues of spirituality and faith, both our own and our children's. Often, this is a time that we look at our own spirituality and our faith and the meaning of our life, and we ask ourselves, what is religion? What is spirituality? How do we incorporate spiritual values into our lives when we live most of our lives in a secular society? Those are some serious questions I know many young parents are confronted with, especially as their children begin to grow up and begin to ask about Sunday school, begin to ask about God, begin to ask questions about mortality and about what death is about when they begin experiencing friends of the family passing away, or a family member, grandmother, or granddad has passed away, or maybe a cousin. And they say, what is this about? And so it really, as parents, we need to have those answers in our own life. We need to confront them about our own spiritual life, our own spirituality, our own faith, so that we have some basis, some foundation to explain those things to our children. And it's very, very important. And so this morning, as we're talking about these things, I'd like for us as parents and as grandparents to evaluate the foundation for our own faith, the foundation for our own spiritual growth and the spiritual relationship that we have with God and with one another. You know, exactly what is the goal of parenting? What is the goal of parenting? Do you just have children and let them go and live their life according to however they want to live it? Probably not. You'll have chaos in your home, chaos in your family. What is the role of parents in the lives of their kids? What we want to do, I guess the ultimate goal, is to prepare our children so that when they leave home, they can live effective lives as adults. If we had to put kind of a descriptive phrase to it, that's what it would be. We want to prepare our children to live their lives as effective adults when they leave home, that they can have their own family, that they can actually leave and have their own family, their own children, and live their own lives in ways that are fulfilling, in ways that are enriching, in ways that are truly effective for them. And so we need to equip our children. If that is the goal, we need to be able to equip our children with the tools that they need so that they can make the decisions that they need to make as they become adults.
If you'd like to join us in studio, again, the phone number is 862-9977, 862-9977. If you listen outside the area or online, give us a call at 800-375-0056. Of course, life you've always wanted. We've talked about this before. Nothing is off the page. Nothing is out of bounds to be able to discuss. Now, last week, of course, we were talking about politics and parenting, and the week before that. And what do we teach our kids? These things are crucial even to the very foundation of what our community is, what our state is, and what our country is. Do we want to leave these things up to someone else or just up to chance? These are questions we have to ask when we become parents. Now, I know a lot of us go, you know, making kids is a whole lot easier than raising kids. Well, that's true.
That's very true, yeah.
But we also have to be able to raise our kids. And what are we going to raise? What are our kids going to say about us? They are our legacy. They will write our biography, as it were. And so how do we talk about them? Because so much, and we addressed this last week as well, so much of what's being taught is to push spirituality, to push religion, to push that out of the American culture. There's a big push to push that out, to say, well, you can have your church and you can have that as long as you keep it within the walls of the church. You can go have your little spiritual beliefs and do your little religious ceremonies. Just don't bring it out into the real world. This is not something you contain in a box on Sunday morning. This is something that applies to our life. And we're going to explore this morning, all the wide-ranging aspects of our life that this affects. And it affects everything. As we've discussed before, you're going to come down to one point in your life. You're going to answer this question. You're either a created being of God or you're a mutant chimp. Just a genetic accident, an atomic anomaly. And what you answer that question, how you answer that question, determines how you live your life. And so these are things we have to be able to discuss and address. and be able to pass on to our kids. So we need to know, first of all, ourselves, what we're thinking, what we believe, what we know to be true, and then how are we going to pass that on? How are we going to teach our kids? So if you'd like, give us a call, 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056.
You know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about parenting and politics, and we talked about our knowledge of the Constitution, our knowledge of the Declaration of Independence, and more precisely, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. How well do we know those? How well are we versed with those? How well do we understand the just the basic fundamental concepts and principles that our country is founded upon? And so this morning we're asking, what is the basis? What is the basis of authority that you use in your life? Now, we use the Constitution of this country as the basis fundamentally of authority for our whole nation. And we have state constitutions as well that the states are fundamentally founded upon and that they're governed by. So we have legal authority when it comes to the legal issues of living within a state, with living within our nation. But what is the foundation of authority that you have for your own life and for your own spirituality? What is the foundation for that? We have Bob here in Springfield. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to find out your background, what you do now, and then I've got a comment after that. I just have turned your program on.
Oh, well, good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Well, this is being brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. W.K. Boyce is the executive director there. W.K. is also a licensed professional counselor, a marriage and family therapist, and so we work with individuals, couples, and families on the entire gamut of life. We work with children as young as 3 to 5, all the way up to adults up in their mid-80s right now in the Springfield and surrounding areas, so Arkansas, Oklahoma. We have recently expanded our radius out to another state considerably further away, but we do help individuals, couples, and families. And this is the life you've always wanted. We discuss all aspects of life, whether it's love to politics. So that's, in a nutshell, what we do every Monday morning at 10 a.m.
Okay. Now, as to my comment, when I was growing up through Central High School and Studi School, we were number one in history, we were number one in mathematics, and we were number one in science. Now we're, I think, around 19, 20, 21 of the nations. And at that time, we had prayer in school. James Madison, the architect of the Constitution, stated, "Cursed be all that learning that's contrary to the cross of Christ." Mm-hmm. He also said, "Our whole civilization is built upon the Ten Commandments of Almighty God." Mm-hmm. Now, that's our history, sir.
Yes.
If we don't get back to the history, we're going to see the school shootings, we're going to see them personify, because these kids are tired of the secular humanism. They find no truth in it. They find no peace. So the OxyContin and the Demerol and some of the other drugs that they're getting from mama and daddy, they are trying the great escape. I think we need to get back to the basics, the history, the heritage, the legacy of this great nation. Mm-hmm. That's the Ten Commandments. And then, you know, the teacher says, "Johnny, that's wrong." And Johnny knew he was going to face a paddle. I didn't get the paddle. He showed it to me one time.
Oh, I got the paddle.
Did you?
Down in Texas, yeah, even back in the 80s and 90s.
The Board of Education.
That was still allowed. And we tested out the new paddles even, just to make sure, you know, when the time came, which one we wanted.
Well, it's a shame it's gotten to that point, but I want to urge other people that are in churches that has Judeo-Christian values they were raised with, that you get up and you speak up and you stand up.
I agree, Bob.
Because our rights are gone.
I agree.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you, Bob.
So that's what we're asking people to do this morning, is to evaluate, what is the authority, what is the foundation of authority in your life that you say that there is a right and a wrong? That's what we're asking. And that's, Bob, what you're saying. We've got to know that there are some absolutes. If there are no absolutes, then everything is relative. And I can't tell you what you're saying or what you're doing is wrong. Unless there is an absolute standard, yeah.
In which case, then you get the little Hitlers of the world, you get the kids at Columbine, you get this guy over in West Virginia that shot up the university last year, mm-hmm. where there just is no other authority, no other accountability. There's nothing that helps keep order and maintain one's life. When you absolutely think that there is no reason for you to be here, and you reduce yourself to an atomic anomaly, just a mutant chimp, then all the rules and all the laws in the world mean nothing, because it's just made up by someone else. And that's part of what we addressed last week and week before, was that our very laws, our very Constitution, is based upon the rights given by God, and that we've enumerated those, being able to write these down to be able to live under them, But that legal basis comes under the authority of our Creator. And that's what our founding fathers believed. And that's what they wanted to pass on.
Yeah, from the very beginning, they said, you know, that they believe in these unalienable rights. We would say they inalienable rights. Mm-hmm. That every person is endowed by their Creator. It's absolutely essential to know that if we are a society or if we are a culture, say that there is no room for God, we can't talk about God. You know, and Bob brought up an interesting point about the Ten Commandments. I came across a statement the other day that said, why is it that we allow prisoners to read the Ten Commandments in prisons, but we can't read the Ten Commandments in our schools?
That was just the Bible, even.
Or just the Bible, yeah. Now, why is that? Why would you allow inmates to read something in prisons that we won't allow them to read in our public schools? It just doesn't make sense. It's not logical.
And that's part of what we were talking about with Dee Wampler, is the misunderstanding and even the fear that organizations taking others to court, trying to drive out all aspects of what God is and who God is and the recognition of God in our society. I know the very fact that we mentioned God on this radio station right now made a lot of people uncomfortable. Just mentioning the word God. Now, I would venture to say that in the Springfield area, between 60 and 80% of the people attend services somewhat regularly.
That's about right, yeah.
And yet we've gotten to a point where, well, you can have your freedom of religion as long as you keep it in your little box on Sunday morning. And on Sunday morning, we all talk about how this needs to be in our everyday life. But for me to come out and mention that on the radio, did he really mention the G word on the radio? Well, yeah. Why did that shock us? Why did that set us back? Is there a part of you that just wanted to go, yes, that's, I want to say that too. Well, say it on a daily basis, live it on a daily basis. And that's part of what we're talking about this morning, is how is that part of our life being addressed? How are we living that part of our life? How are we sharing that with our kids, discussing it with our kids on a daily basis? There are some incredible benefits going all the way back into scientific studies that show what the benefits of spiritualism are, even through a scientific lens. And we're going to bring those up as well a little bit later on the show.
Yeah, you know, the information that we give our children, as I said at the very beginning, was to equip our children, to equip them for the future that we anticipate for them. And the lessons they learn from us are skills and values that we think they'll need to survive. But we need to understand that, you know, we are not the only ones who pass this information along to them. You know, other teachers include school, peers, church, media. All these people are teaching our children as well, but that we are the primary people they look to until we abdicate that responsibility. Parents have the primary responsibility to teach our children spiritual values, to teach our children about spirituality, to teach our children the importance of faith in their life. And so this morning, what foundational lessons or information are we passing on to our kids? I guess more to the point is, how am I growing my kids as spiritual people? Do I ask questions and expect answers about their spiritual education? I know in some families, Bible study as a family is something that's very important. It's an important tradition to that family. Other families, they have individual Bible study, or they encourage children to study their Bible. They teach that the Bible is authority. They teach that it is the Word of God. They teach that you find the answers to life, to effective living in Scripture, and in that relationship with God, as he is revealed in Scripture. And so as we encourage our children to study and to pray, and they see us studying and praying as parents and as grandparents, they also will begin to understand that these are important values that we hold as well. The questions that we ask our children about their spiritual growth, especially as they become adolescents and teens and into the later teens, are questions about their relationship, their own individual relationship with God, their relationship with truth, as it's revealed in Scripture, the relationship with honesty and authenticity, the relationship of openness to other people. And as they see not only us asking them questions about these aspects of their lives, they see that we also are holding these same values and that we are modeling for them what we're expecting them to draw out into their life, what we expect them to grow into in their life. You know, if I fail to feed and nourish spirituality, and that's really a great part of who my kids are, if I ignore that, if I fail to feed them that, then they'll remain undernourished and immature spiritually. Or being hungry spiritually, they'll put food that I don't want them to have into them. Or they'll consume other things under the guise of spirituality. And I think it's happening a lot in our country today. There's a lot of different aspects that are labeled spirituality. There's a lot of behavior labeled spirituality or spiritual behaviors that truly aren't. There's a lot of mystic religions, a lot of New Age behavior that truly are not spiritual from the context of what the authority of Scripture teaches. Now, parents inform their kids of the value and the importance of spirituality. If God is compartmentalized, as Ken said a minute ago, or he's marginalized, or if he is pursued and exalted in our lives, either way, our kids will likely follow our lead and they'll treat him as we do. At the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what trajectory am I on with God? And is this where I want to be taking my kids? I know a lot of people who want the best for their children. They do, honestly do. And many times they themselves were not brought up with any kind of religious background or any kind of spiritual training. And so they find it hard. They really find it hard to teach their children about their own spirituality and to feed them so that their own spiritual life can grow. That's something that can be addressed and something that needs to be addressed. That's the reason why I ask, what is the foundation of authority in your life? Most people I ask, and I ask this in counseling at times, because I want to know, where does their behavior come from? Where does your behavior come from? Ultimately, our behavior comes out of what we hold as authority in our life. And if I am the authority in my life, then my behavior comes out of whatever I want to do. Or if someone else is the authority in my life, I live my life to please that person. Or if God is the authority in my life and Scripture is the authority in my life, then I live my life according to the objective truths of God, regardless of what other people may think or say. And so to have a more effective life, we've got to know where our authority lies. We've got to know what our spirituality, where spirituality is growing from. And that's one of the reasons why so many people are frustrated. So many people are living patterns of lives, patterns of behaviors that are thoroughly frustrating for them. And many of these people wind up in all kinds of depression. They come up with all kinds of addictions because they don't understand where the authority is in their life. They don't understand that there is an authority that is there for them that will help them to become more of who they really are and who they can be, who they really are intended to be in this life. And so I'm encouraging us as parents, if we are struggling in our life, if we have addictions, or we have compulsive behaviors, or we are obsessing about things, or we have anger issues, or we have great depression in our life, or we have anxiety and panic attacks, and we don't know what those are about, and we're having all kinds of things going on in our life that we're not living or functioning as effectively as we need to, especially with our children, then those issues need to be addressed.
If you'd like to give us a call, join us in studio, 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056. We'll be back.
Hi, this is W.K. Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
You're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, W.K. and Ken Boyce.
Welcome back. And we are continuing our discussion today about parents and spirituality. What are we teaching our kids about God? How are we passing on our faith? How are we passing on our beliefs? Even getting back to what is it we believe and why do we believe that? This is critical. As we raise our kids, we have to know what we believe. You know, when we teach our kids not to touch their hand on the stove, don't touch the stove.
Because we know it'll burn them.
It is hot.
It is hot. We know that. And if they touch the stove, they get burned. But we do everything we can to be able to guide them, to educate them, to be able to teach them, you know, don't do this. I don't want you hurt. This will hurt. We have a conviction. We have a knowledge that this is what it is. So how do we pass that on about our spiritual beliefs to our children? How do we tell them, this is why I believe what I believe? WK, we were talking on the break about having people come into counseling, and one of the questions WK asks is, what's the authority in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And sit there and have people not really be able to say what it is. Just kind of taken back. And that gets down to the question of, you're either a created being of God, or you're an atomic anomaly, a mutant chimp. So what we believe, how we believe, affects everything else in our life. And it's important that this is the same questions, same things we're going to have to guide our children through into their life, into adulthood. So what are our convictions? What do we teach? What do we know? Join us as we discuss. If you'd like to give us a call at 862-9977, 862-9977, or 1-800-375-0056.
Yeah, you know, the foundation of the authority. I ask people, what is the authority in your life? People come in for individual counseling or marital counseling or even family counseling. And I ask, what is the authority in your life? What is the foundation? And for many people, they're just struggling to get by. They're struggling to stay connected. They're struggling to have any kind of effective life at all. And the reason they're in counseling is because they're hurting and because they know that they don't want to continue in this state of the relationship that they're in. And as we begin to explore, what is the authority basis in your life? Because out of that authority basis comes our behaviors, comes our belief system. Out of that comes what we choose to do and how we choose to relate to one another. And a lot of people say, it's just kind of an amorphous, well, I was taught a right and wrong, but I'm not really sure where my parents got that. It may just be family tradition. It could be what my grandparents taught them. You know, it could be a lot of different things. But it's incumbent upon us as parents for us to determine what authority, what foundation for authority that we're going to have for our life and for our parenting. What foundation do we have? What is the source of that authority? And the reason I'm really emphasizing this, and for another reason, is because, as Ken said a minute ago, we have people who are trying to eliminate any kind of mention of religion or God and to make our society entirely secular. And one of the great harms that I see that has come across in our country today is the postmodern philosophy, the postmodern theology that says there is no objective truth. That the only truth is what I believe truth to be, or what you believe the truth to be, or what we experience truth to be, but that may not be the same truth. Now, if we're raising a generation, the next two generations of children, that there is no objective truth, that the only truth that exists is what I experience or what I say that truth is for me, that I can't say you're wrong or that I'm wrong or that you're right or I'm right, because there's not an objective standard of right and wrong, then we're raising generations of people who will not feel bound by any kind of objective authority in their life, and who will more importantly be prey to, open to, being consumed by people who want to take over their life. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that it's affecting our churches. It's affecting what our churches are founded upon. If churches say that there is no standard, objective standard, that Scripture is not authority, then what is the authority? Does the preacher become the authority? Does the board of directors become the authority? Does the national board become the authority for religious belief and practice? What is the standard? What is the source authority? And is it truly authority? Then we're raising people also who reject authority, objective authority, outside in the world. How we're governed in the state or in the nation.
Well, from school kids to high school kids, reject all authority from teachers, all authority from principals in our city and state, rejecting the police powers that we've given to our officers out on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that In Western society, the Judeo-Christian ethics are being delegitimized. The Judeo-Christian sexual ethics being delegitimized. You know, there was a time not many years ago when being a virgin before marriage or chastity before marriage was accepted as a given. That didn't mean everybody lived by that, but that was the given. That was the standard. That was the standard. That was the ideal. You know, but college professors today report that there are students who do not even know the meaning of the words abstinence and chastity, to say nothing of the sexual ethic underlying the terms. The delegitimization crisis in this country is that it is virtually in all schools. It's being taught in our universities. It's being preached from pulpits that there is no objective, absolute standard of truth of right and wrong. There's no source authority outside of self. Parents, is that what you want your children to be taught? Do you want them to hear something different than that from you? That there is an objective, absolute standard of source authority that we're all accountable to. In especially our spiritual life, it is the Word of God. It is Scripture. When it comes to being in community, they are the state constitutions and the national constitution.
Recognized again that it was based on endowed rights from our Creator.
Yeah.
The reason this is happening so fast is that it comes under the guise and the myth of, well, let's open our minds. Let's have total freedom, freedom to do anything, freedom to express any way. That there is nothing wrong with it. That's just the way it can be. And what we're finding is that those that are living by that, that have no ability to discern right or wrong, that have bought into this myth of it's all great, it's all okay, are miserable. We have young women that come in that are single mothers because the gentleman won't commit. That, you know, that is on the Radio Archives link. That is one of the most popular shows.
It is, yes.
Is Why Men Won't Commit.
Yeah.
If you hadn't had a chance to go back and listen to that, go back and listen to it. Go to SpringfieldMFI.com and click on the Radio Archive link there. Every show we've done is there. And that's for you. But people that are selling this, that this is somehow liberating, that this is somehow throwing off authority. The problem is, it doesn't throw off responsibility and accountability. And you find out that if you have multiple sexual partners, you have STDs. How did that happen? Oh, wait a second. You mean a girl can get pregnant? Yeah, well, it didn't happen on the TV show. Well, no, TV show is fiction. This isn't Friends. This is real life. This is what happens. And so when those that try to live by this just uncontrolled, unresponsible, just throw off all of these rules.
All those unrestrained behaviors, yeah.
Then the consequences are still there. And people are miserable for it. There's nothing empowering, there's nothing freeing about saying, well, everything is permissible. Yeah, but not everything is beneficial. Ooh, have you heard that before? Where did that come from? Everything is permissible, it's just not beneficial. I can do anything, it doesn't necessarily mean I have the right to do it. That came all the way from Paul. Oh yeah, there's one of those biblical figures again. The evidence is out there that if we take all spirituality away, we rob people of their very essence. And we create miserable, angry people. That's the facts. In black and white. Studies are showing this.
Yeah, you know, that this process of delegitimizing, of deconstructing truth, of deconstructing authority, is insidious. It's been going on in our country now for over 50, 60 years, where what, especially in universities, are teaching is that there is no absolute standard, that everyone is to question authority, that whatever a text says, whatever something says, isn't necessarily what it means. That it can be taken apart bit by bit, and as it's interpreted by different groups, then they have their own meaning of that. And what it means is that the Bible does not have a single ultimate meaning, nor are such texts necessarily authoritative. Now, in the network or web of relations outside the text may determine both the meaning of the text and the nature of its authority. The group becomes the authority. You know, an example of this is the controversy surrounding sexual ethics and the ways in which different positions have been supported through interpretation of biblical text. A traditional reading of a biblical text on sexuality that's like absolute moral authority, and a postmodern deconstruction of the text that is situational ethics, will always result in vastly different interpretations. Let me just boil it down.
Yeah.
If God says this is wrong and I say this is right, who's right? Who's correct on the issue? Or if I say this is what God says, but he didn't really mean that, or this is what the Constitution says, but it doesn't really mean that, and I say that it means, does that make me right?
Makes me the authority.
You know? Or if I tell you you've got a problem in your life and I've got the solution to that problem, regardless of what you've ever known, who becomes the authority in your life?
You just put me in a very powerful position.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have Chris and Nixa. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you, and I appreciate your program. You've mentioned what is the job of parents.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it to be to work themselves out of a job, actually.
Amen to that.
There seems to be a misunderstanding amongst parents that they should please their children, yet we don't raise them to just send them out on the freeway because everything is okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is our job to set boundaries and say it's safe here. Beyond that, you face danger. The child may still decide to go out beyond that means, but at least they have made an informed wrong choice, and at least we can give them that information.
That's right.
When people, I see a lot of lazy parenting, and I think that one of the reasons we deny God is that it calls for accountability if we accept him. We also live in a world where there's a truth. I like to say, my truth is I should own your house, your car, and have all your money, but not having earned any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, everybody's going to really buckle up at that. So
exactly.
Here we go. So children's job is to actually learn what their parents teach them. And for the parents to not waver in their stand,
mm-hmm.
that builds up respect. They might not like you a lot of the time, but it's not totally just your job to be liked.
That's exactly right, Chris.
You cannot be both a friend of the world and a God-fearing person.
Well, somebody once said,
Thank you very much. Our
children have enough friends. What they need are parents. And Chris is exactly right. Thank you, Chris, for calling in. We need to be parents to our children. We need to make sure that their needs are being provided for, because otherwise it's to be neglectful of them. And so we need to be providing for their spiritual foundation, for their spiritual understanding of source authority in their life and their relationship to the source authority. Because that is a great part of spirituality. You know, until someone understands authority, they will not understand accountability. Until someone understands accountability, they will not understand or respect boundaries, nor will they fulfill responsibilities. And that impacts their life in every single relationship that they are in.
You know, we didn't get into all this information we wanted to get into this morning, but this is important. This is the very basis of how we live our life. This is a core issue. This is one of these things we have to answer, and how we answer it determines the rest of our life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, understand, when we say kids are going to rebel against these things, or we're going to question that, make no bones about it, it is always good to question the authority. It's always good. Because in questioning it, we find out why things are what they are, and then make them real in our life.
That's how we internalize them.
That's exactly right. That's how we bring it to our core. Our parents can teach us, but unless we make it real for ourselves or understand, you know, it's like touching the stove. We're going to do it eventually.
Yeah.
But we're going to realize, oh, that's the reason why.
Yeah.
So it's building understanding. This is getting down to the core part of our life. Join us next week as we continue this conversation, as we talk more in depth about it. The results that happen from having a healthy spiritual life. This is the life you've always wanted. Join us next week as we continue this conversation. Remember, it's your life.
It's your choice.
Make it a great one.